Shalom Aleichem, welcome everyone. As we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Mishpatim, on one of those rare years where Parshas Mishpatim is not Parshas Shkalim. The beginning of Parsha, of course, begins with the Parsha of Eved Ivri, and of course that is also the Haftarah of Parshas Mishpatim, which deals with the topic of Eved Ivri. So let me share a thought or two on this topic. The Shai Tshuva, Rabbi Yaina, in Chelek Gimel, Siman Zayin, says a Dover Chiddush. We know there's a Parsha of Eved Ivri, and it happens to be that for us today, in the 21st century, the Parsha appears to not be Negei at all. Slavery has been abolished, and even voluntary slavery, where someone sells himself on his own into slavery, doesn't exist. And we don't have Avodim at all in our day and age. However, Rabbi Yaina says that there is one aspect of the halachis, the dinim, of dealing with an Eved Ivri, which does apply all the time. That is, one of the halachis regarding an Eved Ivri, which is actually in Parshas Behar, is Bachechem b'nei Yisrael ish ba'achiv leisir debay b'farech, which means that even when someone is a servant, the person is commanded not to work with him with undue strictness, with very hard work. Rabbi Yaina says a chiddush. He says that even if someone is not an eved, if it's just a life situation where there are two individuals, and one person has the influence or the ability to pressure another person, he might be that person's boss, he might be that person's superior at work, or he might be somebody who just, because of the societal setting, is more influential and more important, and other people feel subservient to him. When you have such a situation where one person has the ability to put pressure on a second, there's a responsibility that one person not pressure another person to do favors for him. It's unfortunately a common thing. Or people who need favors take advantage of others who have to come on to them. Rabbi Yaina says, "Lo yishtabir adam mechaveray, vim imasay aleihem." And if for some reason the second person has fear of the first person, oishem boishim lahachel devaray, or they're just embarrassed not to listen to that person. Lo yitzava oisam lasais kitana igadayla. He should not tell them, do me a favor, big or small. He gives examples. Don't ask him to cook up some water for you. Don't ask him to go to the store and buy things from you. Idea being that a person is not supposed to force someone else to do something. Rabbi Yaina gives an exception. If you have someone who's misbehaving, and you could pressure him and somehow influence him, you do. But by anoshim hugonim, by proper people, it's an important corollary of the isser of servitude is not to even temporarily, for a moment, take advantage of the ability to pressure someone else. The midas of the Torah include chesed and gevura, the first two midas, the midas of Abraham and Yitzchak. Chesed is an outwardly midah. It's a midah where you influence others. It's a midah of kindness, worrying about people's comfort. And chesed is an outward midah. A warped chesed is when someone's worried about his own comfort, about his own benefit. It's a warped midah of chesed. Chesed is an outward midah. You worry about someone else's chesed. When you're worried about your pleasure, it's a warped midah of chesed. In Parshas Nos, it says chesed hu. The Torah actually uses such a lashon once, where it's a warped chesed. The midah of gevura is discipline. Discipline is the opposite. It's an inward midah. You're supposed to discipline yourself. That's a fine midah. Someone takes the midah of discipline and uses it to discipline others, to pressure others, to take advantage of others, to have gevura against others. That's a warped midah. And that's the midah Rabbi Yaina is warning us about. And so, there is a lesson from the parasha of Eved Ivri that applies today, and that is the idea that a person who can pressure someone else to do something for him should be careful not to take advantage of his position. Let's move on to a sentence in this week's Haftarah. In this week's Haftarah, the Navi admonishes the Jewish people about dealing with an Eved Ivri properly. And in doing so, he says, Koyamar Hashem Elokei Yisrael. He says, Anoichi Korati Brises Aveisechem B'yoyim Hoitzi Yoysa Me'eres Mitzrayim Yibes Avodim Leimar. He says, when I took the Jewish people out of Egypt, on that day, I said to them, Mikesh Avashanim Tishalchu Isha Sachiv HaYivri. You have to send out an Eved Ivri at the end, when the seventh year begins, you have to send them free. What's going on here? This week's parasha is not the day they left Mitzrayim. This week's parasha is not Elu Misinai. As Elu Misinai, it followed not in Torah. It was at least 50 days after the leaving of Mitzrayim. How could Av Torah say, on the day I left Mitzrayim, I taught you this? Some of the Mefarshei Hanavi say, B'yayim I see doesn't mean on the day, it means in that period of time. What do you mean the period of time? All Tarek Mitzvahs were commanded in this period of time. The Bali Musar say the following. They say, why does Mishvatim start with Eved Ivri? There are many more practical mitzvahs in the parasha. Why start with Avodim? And the answer is, the Torah is teaching us that if you go through an experience and you see how terrible something is, you have to be extra careful in your own life to be zohir in that midah. If you suffered from a warped midah, you have to be careful not to make mistakes with that very same midah yourself. And when the Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're walking out of being avodim. Be careful. Don't mistreat your avodim. Once you felt the mistreatment of others, you have to be super sensitive not to be the one who mistreats other people. And that's what the Navi means. The Navi says, on the day I took you out of Mitzrayim. No, it doesn't say the day I took you out of Mitzrayim. It says, on the day that I took you out, may Eretz Mitzrayim be'es avodim, I took you out from being slaves. On that day, I told you, treat your avodim right. I told you, it doesn't mean that it was a nevuah from Moshe, but it means that once a person walks out of a certain experience, he himself has to be extra careful to learn from that, if he's a victim of something, not to be a person who victimizes others. And sometimes it's very challenging, but it's an important lesson for a person to know that your experiences have to teach you what to be extra careful about in the future. So that if you experienced mistreatment, you should take it to heart. You should understand that the suffering you endured is real, and not, God forbid, ever make someone else suffer from that very same thing. And so, the lesson of Rabbeinu Yaina applies to anybody who's been taken advantage of. You have to learn, when you're taken advantage of, to understand never to take advantage of someone else. This week we bench for Chodesh Adar, and with that I'd like to end today with a appropriate Dvar Torah for the month of Adar as it comes upon us. I'd like to share with you the following very geshmaka thought. It says in Yerushalmi, in Masechtas Brachos, in the seventh parak, Yerushalmi has a chakira, it has a clair. At the table, when you're benching, who should lead the benching? Balabayis Mevarech or Ireach Mevarech? Yerushalmi declares if it's better that the master of the house should lead the benching or the guest should lead the benching. And the Gemara resolves it by bringing an incident with Reb Zeira. It says that Reb Zeira was once a guest in a home and he benched. So clearly they held Ireach Mevarech. And from there, the Gemara learns out, Ma'aseh Rav, from the Ma'aseh of a great person, that Ireach Mevarech. The question on this Gemara is, that Reb Zeira was a Kayin. So how can you bring a Raya from there? Maybe, really, the Balabayas leads the benching. But if the guest is a Kayin, and the Balabayas has a mitzvah saseh to honor the Kayin and give him the benching, and that's why the benching was given to Reb Zeira. What is the Raya from there? This is a difficulty with the Yerushalmi. The Aderes, Rabbi Avraham David Rabinowitz Tumim, said a very geshmaka teretz. The Gemara says, "Come, Rabba, v'shachdele Reb Zeira." Reb Zeira was killed by Rabba, and then brought back to life again. Says the Aderes, he's no longer a kayin. He was born a kayin, but after he died, now he is brought back to life. Someone who dies and is brought back to life, he's not a kayin. By tchias amesim, he's not a kayin. That's what the Aderes says. The Stipler quotes this, and he has a kashi. He doesn't understand. How could the Aderes say such a thing? The Gemara in the beginning of Parachelik says, how do we know, where do we have a source for the idea of tchias amesim? And one of the sources it brings is from a pasuk. The pasuk says that truma will be given la'arin ulabanav, that you will give the truma gift to Aaron ulabanav. Gemara says, what do you mean? Aaron died in the Midbar. He never got truma. His sons got truma. He never got truma. So Gemara says, mikam l'tchias ha-meisim. There will be a tchias ha-meisim. Aaron HaKayim will get up again, and then he will have truma. That's what it says in the Gemara. Says the Stipler, the Aderes is wrong. The Aderes says, by tchias ha-meisim, a person is no longer a kayim when he's reawakened. We see that's the source of one of the sources of tchias ha-meisim is Aaron HaKayin, and you see he's going to be a kayin even when he gets up. Sounds like a tiyufta on something the Adera said. It's not a great kasha. He's just as geshmaka teretz, which I've seen. I don't recall where. The teretz is great. There are two types of kayinim. Most kayinim a kainim by virtue of being born to a father who's a kain. In other words, their kahuna is by virtue of birth. Aaron HaKayin, as a matter of fact, Aaron HaKayin's sons as well, and Pinchas, they were not born kainim. They became kainim because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the gift of kahuna. It was them personally, they personally received kahuna. Therefore, Vaderis is right. Reb Zeira was a kayin because his father was a kayin. So that means that he's born to his father, he's a kayin. If he dies and he, so to speak, born once again, tchias ha-meisim, the Aderes says he's ice kayin. He no longer has a din kayin. You can't ask for Aaron HaKayin or for Aaron and his sons, because Aaron and his sons, Aaron got kahuna as a gift personally. So even by tchias ha-meisim, he remains a kayin. It's something personal to him. This is personal to him, just like he remains Aaron. He's not Is Aaron. Same thing, he remains kayin. A very geshmaka teretz on a kasha that seemed to be an absolute tiyufta. Plus, this gives us an understanding that by Pinchas he got bris kahunas oilam. He got an eternal bris of kahuna. What does it mean, eternal? All kahuna is eternal? No! Had Pinchas been a kayin by virtue of being born a kayin, it would only last until tchias ha-meisim, but not after tchias ha-meisim. But since Pinchas was given it personally, not by virtue of being born a kayin, he has bris kahuna asylum. He has an eternal bris kahuna. This explains the shita of the Aderes. I don't say that necessarily everyone agrees with him on this. Be that as it may, the words of the Aderes and the kash of the Stipler, Geshmaka Teretz, have that type of geshmaka feeling that gets us into a mood for the month of Adar, a geshmaka in our learning. We should be zeche. You have a geshmaka in your learning, then you learn. So first learn even without geshmak, but then work towards a geshmaka in learning. Yitz Hashem, let us hope as we enter a year with two chaydesh Adar, such taka, indeed, be a year of ribui simcha, of extraordinary simcha in all of Klal Yisrael. A guten Shabbos to one and all.